podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
So what did she have to say, Gabriel? See, Gabriel's just returned home from his journey to Nazareth. All of the angels know the message that he was chosen by God to bring to a young woman named Mary, and was all a part of God's plan. When God sent Gabriel, you knew it was a big deal. Come on, Gabriel, don't keep us waiting. What did she have to say? I mean, her whole world is caving in. All of her plans are changed. She's giving birth to the Son of God, the Messiah, the Eternal One. She's bringing salvation into the world. But she's a virgin and she's promised herself to Joseph. What did she have to say, Gabriel? Did she cry? Did she scream? Did she run and hide? Maybe she said, no, you're going to need to find another virgin. I've got plans of my own. Tell us, Gabriel, what did she say? The other angels leaned in as Gabriel spoke. Oh, she was terrified. I could see it in her eyes. Her hands were trembling. She's just a little girl, for goodness sake. Back in the good old days when I was sent to the prophet Daniel to help him interpret a vision, and then just a few earth weeks ago, I surprised Zechariah in the temple to tell him about his son, the forerunner. He was so worked up, I had to strike him speechless for 9 months. I mean, you'd think a guy had been praying for something for as long as Zechariah had been praying, he would have no problem believing. But this was completely different. This was a girl from Nazareth. She had no clue what was about to go down. But Gabriel, what did she say? Well, I had to calm her down a bit. She was so shook up. No matter how hard I try to look like one of them, something always gives me away. Anyway, once she was composed enough to hear what I had to say, I gave her the good news, just like we had rehearsed. Okay, and what did she say, Gabriel? Well, at first she seemed troubled by the whole thing. I mean, it is good news, but I can see how it might come across as bad news to someone in her situation. I told her she has found favor with God. I told her about the son she was going to have. I told her that they needed to name the boy Jesus. And then I made sure she understood who this child is. This is the Son of the Most High. This is the promised one from the line of David. This is Israel's Messiah, the eternal King of Kings. I wanted to be sure that she got the whole picture. Okay, Gabriel, good work, good work. But what did she say? The first words out of her mouth were, "How will this be?" The angels laughed out loud. Oh, the poor thing. These humans think the whole world revolves around them, don't they? They're so trapped up in that little planet that they can't even begin to fathom the power of God. How will this be? That is rich. As if anybody can stand in the way of God. What else did she say? She said, "How will this be since I am, you know, a virgin?" The angels again laughed out loud, but Gabriel defended Mary. Look, if you lived within the laws of science and biology that God created for that universe, you might ask the same question. She's a devout young woman, and she knows this is going to blow the lid off of that small town. It's going to shake up her family. It's only reasonable. I suppose so, one angel said. It reminds me of the time a couple of us went down there to talk to Abraham at the birth of his promised son. Remember what happened that day? Old Sarah laughed her head off. And then she lied about it. Oh, no, 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 no. I didn't laugh. Yeah, right. And that's how that little boy got his name. Laughter. Abraham had to be reminded that day, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Let Gabriel talk. What happened next, Gabriel? Well, it was an innocent question, and I tried my best in earth language to explain the miracle. I mean, earth language is so inadequate for such things, but I did my best. Something about the Holy Spirit and the Most High overshadowing her, and the baby will be God's son, not a man's son. How do you describe something as beautiful as that to a human brain? Is it even possible? Well, nice try anyway, Gabriel. I'm sure that'll end up in the Bible, and those humans will argue over what that means for all of their coming history. I'm sure it will. But after I reminded her about Elizabeth's pregnancy, she came around. I told her no word from God will ever fail. And she knew that. I mean, I just reminded her of what she already knew. And what she said next was perfect. If I do say so myself, it was almost angelic. She bowed with her eyes to the ground and she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Now that's what I'm talking about, one of the angels said. I wish more humans would surrender themselves to God's plan. I mean, she has no idea what this baby's going to do, where this baby's going to take her. She has no clue about the glory and the joy and the heartbreak and the wonder that she's going to experience as the mother of this child. But I'm glad she's on board. What did you do next, Gabriel? That's all I needed to hear. I left as quick as I had arrived. Couldn't wait to get back. I'm told we need to get a team ready in 9 months. We're going to go to some pasture in Bethlehem to light it up. Plus, I need to keep my lip warmed up. You never know when the Lord might need one of us to blow the trumpet and put an end to all that nonsense down there. And that's how I imagine the conversation went in heaven. And I love thinking about how this all looks through the eyes of the angels. You know what I mean? The Bible tells us about the good news. And it says, even angels long to look into these things. The angels are curious. They like to look at our history. They like to look into our world. They look to see how God is moving through this world with these creatures. So this morning we complete our series, Christ Has Come. We talked about our children's Christmas pageants and how they feature the beards and the scrolls of the prophets and the cribs and the straw of Bethlehem and the canes and the bathrobes of the shepherds, but also the glitter and wings of the angels. So let's talk about the angels for a moment. You need to know something about these angels, okay? They aren't little baby cherubs, okay? They aren't Barbie dolls in flowing gowns with wings and halos. And as I look at the manger scene down here, there's angel, right, seated behind Jesus, full wing and full glory, and kneeling before the throne. You know, I believe the angels were a part of that scene, but I don't believe they were visible there at the manger. Imagine that angel visible to the spirit beings, but not visible to the people, not at that moment. Angels are spiritual beings. They go before the throne of God and they worship Him. And they sing to Him, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Anyone who has seen them in Scripture describes light and glory and a feeling of fear and yet great beauty. And when those angels come to earth as messengers, they come in the appearance of men, although their presence can be startling because they aren't like normal men. They have been in the presence of God. So when Gabriel went to announce the birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah, he said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." What an incredible thing to have a being from the throne of God come with a message specifically for you. It's not every day that a thing like that happens. Very rare if you read the pages of Scripture. I've heard a lot of stories about the angels, and maybe you've heard them too at this time of the year, right? Angels behind the scenes whispering to each other about how God should just come down here and destroy this earth and all creation because of our sin and our disobedience. Or maybe you've heard the one about the angels. They're shocked and they're disturbed that the beautiful, perfect, holy Son of God would humiliate Himself and become one of these creatures. Or maybe you've heard about the angels that they're upset that they have to go to Bethlehem and announce the birth of Jesus to shepherds. They'd rather go somewhere more important to more impressive people. But angels aren't like that. Angels aren't like that at all. Angels do what God asks them to do without question, without any judgment. They trust Him. After all, they live in His presence. They have no reason to doubt His judgment. They see Him day after day after day. They worship Him no matter what. And so when it comes time for the angels to announce the coming of Jesus, there's joy and there's excitement. These angels know God in all of His fullness and beauty. They live in His presence. They worship Him day by day, and they walk by sight. And so they know that we humans, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And so for an angel to be able to pierce through our atmosphere and make himself visible and share news directly from God's throne, that's something special. Not just for the human, I believe for the angel as well. So it makes me think, number one, from God's presence, angels serve swiftly. The angels are perfect servants of God. So this picture that we get of angels from Scripture is they're beautiful, they're powerful, they're obedient beings that serve God by eagerly doing whatever He calls them to do. Psalm 103 tells us, "Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will." You see, the description of these angels, they do God's bidding. They obey His words. They are His servants. They do His will. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Talks about the fact that not only are these angels obeying the will of God, but they also minister to us. We are the ones who will inherit salvation. They're sent to serve God and to serve God's people. Unseen service, by the way, we don't see it, but it happens. There was a time when some angels known as demons chose to walk away from God. But that time is over. Now the angels' number one priority is the will of God. They have no will of their own but to worship Him and to serve Him. So the angels must look at us human beings running around with our own strong wills, doing our own thing in opposition to the will of God, and they must just shake their heads because they've seen where that leads. They've been near to the throne of God. Why would anybody choose to walk in darkness? It must be baffling to the angels. But they stand ready to do God's bidding. And it is their privilege to honor and to serve the living God. And sometimes we humans get it right too. Take Mary, for example. She received God's promise and His Son willingly and humbly. And we talk about when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we say that you're asking Jesus into your heart. Mary was receiving Jesus into her womb. It was full commitment, spiritual and physical, for her. Look at her own words. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." Turns out that the angels aren't the only servants of God in this story. It's true that the angels serve, but also, number two, from God's promise, Mary serves submissively. She serves submissively, obediently. See, Mary says to Gabriel, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Now consider those words for just a moment. Have you ever prayed such a prayer to God? "I am your servant, Lord. May your word to me be fulfilled." Whatever your word might be to me, Lord, may it be fulfilled in my life. I am your servant. I lay everything down. It's a scary prayer because when you pray that prayer in full honesty, with good intentions, you are surrendering control of your life to God when you pray that prayer. Now, some of us pray a prayer like that. You know, we say, God, take control. But when the rubber meets the road, we take it back because we're scared. It's kind of like a father who lets his son sit on his lap and steer the car. Here you go, boy, steer the car. But he's got his knee on the bottom of the steering wheel the whole time, just in case. Right? So we say, Jesus, take the wheel. But if it gets too scary, I've got my backup plan. I can always take it back. We need to learn from the angels who serve in God's presence. They know Him. They've seen the Lord. They aren't scared. They obey Him fully in all situations without reservation. And we need to learn from Mary's faith. She took the Lord at His promise. She walked by faith in who God is and in what God said. And she said, I am the Lord's servant. Sure, I have dreams and I have plans of my own. I'm betrothed to a husband who might not take this very well. Nonetheless, I surrender control of my life humbly to your guidance, to your direction, to your plan, wherever it might lead. And she didn't know it would lead her to a hill with a cross on it. I need to mention something to you this morning that some of you may not have noticed, but ran in the bulletin for a couple of weeks. Said about our worship service this morning that you should feel free to wear a tacky Christmas sweater. That was left over from last year, I hate to tell you, okay? We had Christmas Day last year was Sunday, and so we said, hey, wear a tacky Christmas sweater. I think it was Mike Embry's idea. We all jumped in on that, right? So I never said a word about that this year, but there it kind of popped up in the bulletin. That happens from time to time because April is a very obedient servant, and she left it in there because I didn't tell her to take it out. So blame me. All right. So there are some people in our midst who unknowingly, they read this and they took it at its word. Okay? I'm going to tell you that's a good thing. Some people read our bulletin. I never even pointed that out. They read our bulletin and they actually do what it says. I am amazed by that. We have some servants of the Lord in our midst. And you will know them by their sweater this morning. Now, if you just wore a sweater this morning and you don't consider it tacky, I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about the ones who wore a sweater and they feel it's tacky. Okay. That's where I'll leave it this morning. God bless you for your obedience. You are a servant. You are a servant. You read it and you take it at its word. The angels are God's servants. Mary is God's servants. But let's not forget about the star of the Christmas story, Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate servant of Christmas. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Think about how amazing that is. Not that everyone was going to call Jesus Emmanuel. That wasn't his nickname. You know, when the Old Testament tells us that somebody's going to be called something, it's not referring necessarily to the handle by which they're going to go. But it talks about their character, about their identity, about who they are. So nobody saw Jesus and said, hey, Prince of Peace, how's it going today? What's up, Everlasting Father? They didn't say that. But those names represented who Jesus is for us. So what should you expect if you run into God on the street? If God is with us, what do you expect if you run into God on the street? I'll tell you what most people expect. Judgment, shame, blame, and anger is what they expect from God. Look at what a mess you've made of my world. Look at what a mess you have made of the life that I gave you. And that's what they expect to receive from God. Or maybe if you bumped into God on the street, you would expect Him to just ignore you. Say, look, you're not worthy of my time or my efforts. Driver, take me somewhere else far away from this creature. I can't be bothered. Because that's how you've been treated by the important people in your life. But even though you and I might deserve that type of treatment when it comes to the Lord, because of our behavior, the truth of the matter is pretty startling. That's not how Emmanuel, God with us, treats us at all. The God who came to Bethlehem as a little baby came to serve. I mean, imagine bumping into God on the street and then He bows down and He washes your feet and says, what can I do for you today? How can I serve you? Imagine him stepping in front of a speeding car headed your way and dying in your place. That is who Jesus is. Scripture says in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And Philippians chapter 2 says, "He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." So while the angels serve and Mary serves, the truly magnificent servant of Christmas is Jesus. From God's perspective, Jesus serves sacrificially. He is God in the flesh, and he comes to serve. You see, that baby in the manger has just sacrificed a home in heaven. He has sacrificed the worship of angels, the perfect, unbroken fellowship of the Trinity, limitless power, presence, and timelessness. He surrendered it all, and now he can't even walk. And now he is imprisoned in a little body in this world. He is at the mercy of humans for his feeding and for his care, and he is one of us with pain and struggle and human form. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And he makes that sacrifice for you and me because he loves us so much. So in Jesus, we see the apex of sacrificial giving. Nobody has ever or will ever stoop as low and give away as much as the servant Jesus. So Jesus comes into this world where everybody's looking out for themselves, and he establishes a new pattern for his followers. You should be servants. You should wash one another's feet. You should be good Samaritans and go out of your way to help those who are in need. And sometimes, unfortunately, it takes an unbeliever to remind us believers of who Jesus really is and what Christmas is all about. There's a rock singer by the name of Jackson Brown who is an admitted agnostic, not a believer, who was asked to write a Christmas song. I think around this time of the year, or maybe earlier in the year, all artists are asked to write a Christmas song because you make money off those things. So Jackson Brown wrote a Christmas song, even though he's not a believer. I like to listen to it this time of year because it's a reminder for me to keep my bearings. Jesus came to serve, so I must also be a servant. So listen to this song with me this morning and see if it speaks to you the way that it speaks to me. It says, "The streets are filled with laughter and light and the music of the season, and the merchants' windows are all bright with the faces of the children, and the families hurrying to their homes as the sky darkens and freezes. We'll be gathering around the hearths and tables, giving thanks for all God's graces and the birth of the rebel Jesus. They call him by the Prince of Peace, and they call him by the Savior, and they pray to him upon the sea and in every bold endeavor. As they fill his churches with their pride and gold, and their faith in him increases, but they've turned the nature that I worship in from a temple to a robber's den," in the words of the rebel Jesus. "We guard our world with locks and guns, and we guard our fine possessions. And once a year when Christmas comes, we give to our relations. And perhaps we give a little to the poor if the generosity should seize us. But if any one of us should interfere in the business of why there are poor, they get the same as the rebel Jesus. But pardon me if I have seemed to take the tone of judgment, for I've no wish to come between this day and your enjoyment. In this life of hardship and of earthly toil, we have need for anything that frees us. So I bid you pleasure and I bid you cheer from a heathen and a pagan on the side of the rebel Jesus." So listen to the words of Jesus himself from Matthew chapter 20. Jesus calls the people together and he says to them, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the true spirit of Christmas is the spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the spirit of servanthood. So can I encourage you this morning, as you prepare to celebrate Christmas, as we are here at this time of the year, the end of the year, don't forget your calling. You are a servant. A servant. With all the rights and the privileges that don't come along with that, you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at these servants this morning. From them we get a pattern of serving God. We must serve God swiftly, like the angels, because we love Him. We have spent time in His presence and we are eager to please Him. We need to serve God submissively, like Mary, because we trust in His promises and we know that He will come through and that His glory is worth our humility. And we must serve God sacrificially like Jesus, because the measure of our surrender is small compared to the blessings that come along with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we praise You and thank You for Your word today. And I ask, Lord, that You would help us as Your people in this world to serve. Father, I pray that we might learn from the attitude and the example of the angels and of Mary and of Your Son, Jesus, Lord, that we might be servants as well. We are thankful, O God, for Your love and Your willingness, O Lord, to sacrifice Your Son for us on the cross, that we who believe in Him have forgiveness of our sins, we have abundant life, and we have eternal life through the One who has been risen from the dead. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we go on with our lives, as we enjoy giving gifts and receiving gifts, Father, as we go on into a new year, Lord, that You might renew within us the desire to be Your servants. Lord, that we might look for ways in our world, in our work, in our lives, Lord, to give a little bit more in honor of the baby Jesus who gave His all. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.